Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come once again repenting of every sin that I committed knowingly or unknowingly, was in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you, Lord, to please forgive me. Please create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. I'm asking you, Lord, to take me out of the flesh and allow your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. Now, Father, we just thank you for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. Now, Father, I ask even now that you would just begin to move over this worship service on today, Lord, that, Father, you would touch every believer that's going to come on this service today, Lord God, those that's already here and those that's going to come on, Lord. We ask that your anointing that destroys the yokes and removes the burdens will begin to manifest in your people's in your people's lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That you begin to minister to your people on today, Lord God, by your word and by your spirit, which brings new life. And we bless you indeed, Lord. And we just ask you, Father God, that bless your people, Lord. Bless your people, Lord God. And enlarge their territories on today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and I ask it all. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Hallelujah.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Oh, this hallelujah. Is the day, Lord. I will rejoice, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul.
I deserve your love,
and all that is within me, I will bless your holy name. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, daddy, yanda la boko shen yanda hallo.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 I will bless, I will bless your holy name.
Come on and give him the glory and the honor right where you are. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know. No, I was getting ready to say, I don't know who it's for, but the Lord just flashed some people before me when I was getting ready to say it. It's something that's in my spirit that he wants me to say. When we go to God and we say we're repenting, and let's say your repentance got to do with another individual on the face of the earth, if you have the ability to contact that individual, your repentance is not completed until you repent to them personally. And so, you know, we live in this hour, and there's a scripture that talks about us, about how when we try to cover our sins, how our sins are not covered. And we got this thing where we're so concerned about what other people think. And I'm like, you're living the wrong way. I never forget this prophet one time years ago prophesied to me some stuff. And he gave some exact times in his prophecy. And so those things did not come to pass in those time frames. And so I was going around calling this man a lying prophet. And the Lord one day came to me when I was praying about the stuff again, because, you know, it used to disturb me from the things he said. And the Holy Spirit put before me that the man didn't lie to me. He let me know it was my fault why the prophecy hadn't came to pass. It was some things I had said. I had opened up my mouth and I had started saying things to different individuals. And this is the problem that a lot of Christians have. They don't take responsibility for their part and stuff. See, a lot of times we want to blame God or we want to blame the prophet or somebody else, but we don't stop to see ourselves and what we've done. And so when the Lord had revealed to me, you know, and I was like, well, Lord, you know what? That's true. I'm like, I can't argue against that. That is correct. And so I had to go and repent to that man. I had to go sit through one of his services. And, you know, I had to let him know. I had to talk to him. And I had to let that man know flat out. You know, he thought I was coming for something else. I said, no, sir, I was coming to repent. I was like, because I was going around saying that you had lied to me, that like you was a lying prophet. I said, the Lord let me know. No, it wasn't you, it was me. And so, you know, I see that a lot. And it's like when I was up in worship a while ago, the Holy Spirit kept telling me, he said, you need to let them know that true repentance is not true repentance when the person is on the earth that you can say something to and you don't go and repent to them. He's like, you haven't repented. See, you know, there's a difference when you go before God and you repent, and there's not no way of you telling that person that you was wrong, like they dead or gone or something like that. But if you have the ability to go, especially if it's somebody you have dealings with, you still have somewhat of dealings with, or you have the ability to have a dealing with them, you have not repented. You have to go back and you have to confess to that person as well. So, you know, that's not what I'm supposed to be talking about today, but God wanted me to bring it up. He, when I was in worship, he brought that into my spirit when we was up in worship. Okay, I'm getting ready to go into the scriptures. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah chapter 31. And I'm going to start at verse 1.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So in Isaiah 31, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise that will bring evil and will not call back his words. Give me a second, I got stuff popping up on my computer. But will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that's hopeling shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. Fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise in them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for my Zion and for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day, every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fail. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword of a mighty man, and the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, in his furnace in Jerusalem. Y'all, I'm up in the spirit, so y'all gotta. I'm having a hard time. I get my eyes do a certain thing when I go get up in the spirit, because you know the Spirit of God just had me to stop and talk about some stuff, and he's still talking to me. I'm going to do it in the basic English. It says, cursed are those who go down to Egypt for help and who put their faith in horses, looking to war carriages for salvation because of their numbers, and to horsemen because they are very strong. But they are not looking to the Holy One of Israel or turning their hearts to the Lord. Though he is wise and able to send evil, and his purpose will not be changed, but he will go against the house of the evildoers and against those to whom they are looking for help. Ooh, Jesus, let me do it again. Though he is wise and able to send evil, and his purpose will not be changed, but he will go against the house of the evildoers and against those to whom they are looking for help. For the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. And when the Lord's hand is stretched out, the helper and he who is helped will come down together. For the Lord has said to me, as a lion or a young lion make an angry noise over his food, and if a band of herdsmen come out against him, he will not be in fear of their voices or give up his food for their noise. So the Lord of armies will come down to make war against Mount Zion and its hill. Like birds with outstretched wings, so will the Lord of armies be a cover to Jerusalem. He will be a cover and salvation for it. Going over it, he will keep it from danger. Come back to him who has been so deeply sinned against by the children of Israel. For in that day they will give up their images of silver and of gold, the sin which they made for themselves. Then the Assyrian will come down by the sword, but not of men. The sword not of men will be the cause of his destruction, and he will go in flight from the sword, and his young men will be put to forced work, and his rock will come to nothing because of fear,
and his chiefs will go in flight from the flag, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and his altar in Jerusalem.
So, you know,
Father, we just praise you once again for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we just praise you right now, Lord God, for the anointing that destroys the yokes and that removes the burdens, Lord God. Father, we ask that you would send your anointing, God. We bind every demonic spirit, oh God, that has come up against this service, that's come up against your people, that's come up against your will for your people, Lord God. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that every demonic spirit, oh God, are touched, oh God, that has come up against the created forces, against your will for your people lives to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. And every person attached to it that do not want to give up their hand and being in a contact with it, go God, Samoko been brought down, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we just thank you, for you said no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And you said every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we shall utterly condemn it, for this is our inheritance. So, Lord God, we lift up this word before you today, and Lord God, we ask that you will give us a rhema from your Logos on today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. The Lord God, you will cause your people to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto the church, Lord God, and that they'll be able to see what it is you tell them. I heard the Spirit of God saying sudden destruction to your enemies, to those who have come against my will for your life. He says sudden destruction. He said, because if you're seeking my face to do my will, anything in opposition to my will for your life, I shall destroy it for my name's sake, said the Spirit of the living God. Shinda. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When the Spirit of God showed me this, I don't know if you all ever watched this. I don't know which Spider-Man movie this was, but there was a Spider-Man movie I watched years ago. And in the movie at the end, there was this like black tar stuff. And from my standpoint, he was demonic, you know. It was this black tar stuff, and it would attach himself. It had attached himself to Spider-Man, and he had changed, started acting strange and everything. So one of the evil people he was fighting against got with the tar stuff, and it was attached to that. And he was trying to separate that person from the tar stuff so he wouldn't be destroyed with the tar stuff. That thing, that person wanted to hang on to whatever powers he thought the tar stuff was giving him till he got destroyed with it. And the Holy Spirit showed me that in a vision when I was praying just then. He was speaking about him destroying. He said, because he said a lot of times we pray for people, he said, and they're so attached to the evil forces that they are in conjunction with because they have evilness in their heart. They do not want to see good for anybody. Yes, he said, so when the destruction comes, he's like, you look for them to be destroyed. He think they're going to be destroyed with it. He heard because they don't want to let go. And so the Spirit of God just wanted me to let you know. Hallelujah! So robo shit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, so when we're looking at this scripture, you know, and God was talking to them, and when you're looking at this and you see where he's talking about, you know, people being cursed, you know, his people being cursed for trying to go to Egypt for help. Egypt represents the world. So, you know, if you're talking from your standpoint, you know, he's talking about anything that is outside the Spirit of God. And he said, you know, he told them, he said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. And stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. And if you go over and you look at it in the basic English, the curse of those who go down to Egypt for help and who put their faith in horses, looking to war charges for salvation because of their numbers, and to horsemen because they are very strong, but they are not looking to the Holy One of Israel or turning their hearts to the Lord. This is what people do. People look to every other outlet, you know, whether it's their jobs, whether it's their businesses, whatever they put their hands to do, or people that they connect with to try to help them do whatever it is they're trying to do, you know, including evil, speaking evil over folks and everything else. You know, the Lord said all these things they're putting their trust in is, and none of this stuff, none of them putting their trust in God or looking to God, he like, it's going to be destroyed. And they're going to be destroyed with it. And so, you know,
You all, it's simple. And if you look at the state of our nation, where our nation got a lot of things that people have put their trust in this nation, and God is always bringing me back to this every time. Every time it seems like I get on service almost, he brings me back. God brings me back to how people have been trusting in this system that America created, even this new currency and even all this other stuff people got out. They putting their trust in all this stuff. And God is saying those things are gonna fail. And he's like, when they fail, because you haven't looked to God and trusting in the name of the Lord and being obedient to God, you're gonna fall with it. It's just as simple as that. And some people don't like the truth, you know, but the Bible said the truth will make us free. God has given us a way out. And we choose day after day, week after week, not to accept his way out. And he's like, these things are coming. He's like, the topic he gave me today was false trusts. How we put, we have false trusts. You got a false trust in your job. You got a false trust in your physical abilities. Your physical abilities can change quickly overnight. Do you not know who God is? God is God. If God want to lay you flat right now because you've been disobedient. My grandmother, my mother's mother, God had told her some things to do, and she didn't do those things. When he told her to do, he put her flat on her back. And when she got flat on her back, she had to look up and see God for real. And she had to do what he told her to do on her bed of affliction. She had to have one of her children to help her start out doing what God told her to do in the first place. God is not nobody to play with. You can pray with God all day long. You can do all these things. But baby, and let me tell you, in the fullness of time, when God get ready to move and everything is getting ready to be done, it's going to be done. It's going to be swift. And it's going to be quick. That's the reason why God be telling people all the time. He like, choose you this day whom you going to serve. You can't speak a curse out of one side of your mouth and think and speak a blessing on another side and think you're going to be all right. You can't be trying to speak all these big lovely words out of your mouth, and in your heart you got evil thoughts and evil things. I preached a sermon on the other week, and the Lord had showed you that in the scripture. That's scripture about by speaking one thing in your mouth and having another thought in your mind evilly towards those things. God sees all those things. And so, you know, God is saying we trust in everything else but in him. We trust in our technologies. Do you know just one flash of a word out of God's mouth, technology can be destroyed in a very second? Who do you think God is? Some people think God is this lovely bedtime story, or he's this fantasy or whatever it is, and he's this and that. And so I don't get disturbed off of people that don't believe. I just know what the end is going to be. Because if you don't believe what the Spirit of God has to say until the church, you're definitely one of those that's on their way, you know, to hell. So, you know, I look at people all the time and I tell people, I say, you get upset. Christians get upset when people be saying some crazy stuff to them. And I be like, why are you upset? All they doing is showing you they are demonically possessed. All they doing is showing you they are worldly, that they are not of God. And if you understand that they're not of God and you understand what's going on, then you know what to pray and how to pray. But you got to understand God knows everything, because he made the end before he made the beginning, and he already know who belongs to him and who does not. And so, you know, it's, you know, that's why, you know, when people be wanting to say, oh, don't, you can't judge. There is no word in scripture that uphold anything you said. Because matter of fact, the Bible says he that is spiritual judges all things. Right. Yea, the deep things of God. And matter of fact, the scripture they try to use about where Jesus said, you hypocrite, you know, judge not that you be judged. He told them, for the same measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you again. He told them to take the beam out of their own eye that they can see clearly, to take the mote out of their brother's eyes. So in other words, he was saying you got to get the stuff out of your eye so you can see clearly to judge them correctly, that then pull the stuff out. So you still don't know what you're talking about. Because when God made the end before he made the beginning, then God already knows what's going to take place. He already knows who's on his side. And if you're walking with the Spirit of God, God would tell you outright, hey, you know what? They're not going to heaven. I've had God to do it. I've had God tell me straight up who is going to be turned over to a reprobate mind. I've had him tell me different things throughout the years. And as I sat back and watched the things that he's saying, I see it. God is not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. But if he spoke, he should do it. If he said, he performed it. He like, look at it, it already happened anyway. I already see it out. We doing is playing it out. So you got to understand, you got this moment. There's a moment in the spirit. And that's the reason why the scripture says who he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. So there's a foreknowledge of God. Mm-hmm. There's an intimacy with God. People don't want to be intimate with God. They want God to do what they want God to do. And God's like, I'm not no genie in the bottle. He like, you can't do me. He's like, I have a way. He said, and the way that sent me right to a man, the end thereof is destruction. And so you got to understand, there's a lot of things going on. People trusting everything else, but just instead of trusting in God, instead of seeking God, because when you seek God's face for real, God tells you about your own self.
That's right.
He started telling you about what's wrong with you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, I never forget. God let me know. He didn't tell me that the man wasn't a lying prophet. He told me he didn't lie to me. And he told me to go and repent. You know, I went and repented because of that. I didn't just repent to the Lord. I repented to the prophet. See, I wasn't trying to hide my sin. I wasn't trying to fake the funk.
Yeah.
I still, that's what trips me out about people. I'm like, I don't have nothing to hide. If I don't like you, I don't like you. I'm not a person that play games. You know, it's a lot of people that play games with God. I don't play games with God. And the whole thing is because some people got ugly and nasty and filthy ways.
Yeah, they do.
And so if you don't like those type of things, you don't like those type of things. And I'm not one of the type of people that if I don't like it, I'm not finna entertain it. And so, you know, in the spirit of God, I'm very truthful with God about it and I'm truthful with the people. See, I don't fake. You know how some people play fake stuff? They know they can't stand something. They know they don't like something. And they turn around. And they act one way in a person's face, and they say other things behind their back. I've never been one of those type of people. I can't do that kind of stuff. I'm like, because the thing is, at the end of the day, God sees me, and God knows me, and God knows every last one of us. He knows what we doing, how we doing. He knows how we think. He knows how we feel about stuff. And so, you know, I just thank God. I don't know why he got me talking about this, because I be talking about false trust. But this is free. This is for somebody. Because you need to be set free. And the Bible said, who the Son set free, your phone keep coming on. Your phone keep coming on. I keep muting it and it keep coming right back on. He said, who the Son set free is free indeed. And so, you know, we have to understand those things as the Spirit of God is talking to us in this hour, in this season. It's a lot of fake stuff that is going on in the world. Well, I'm going on in the church, not in the world, because the world just being what the world is supposed to be. You know, I tell people a lot of times. When people try to tell me about stuff about fucking the world, I be like, they not doing nothing but doing what they supposed to. It's the folks that's in the church that I have issues with.
Yeah.
Because we're the ones that's supposed to be carrying the light. And I'm like, if there's no difference between you and the world, my question is, what is you saved from? And so, I want to give you some scriptures right quick. The Spirit of God want me to give you these scriptures, and I'm the back door of some of the things he had me talking about on today. And then we're gonna get on up out of here. Let's see. Let's go. Let's go to Psalms. Let's do Psalms. Hold on, y'all, because I'm trying to get my place. Psalms 52. So let's look at Psalm 52. I'm going to start at verse 2. It says, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Say lie. So that means, when you say lie, that means pause, think about it, reflect. You know, he's saying pause, think about loving a lie more than loving righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Now, that's another thing. People, you know, are trusting their riches. I don't know what it is about. I can only talk about We Are More Than Conquerors, Outreach Ministries Incorporated. We have more than one person in this ministry that do not pay their tithes, or they pay their tithes just off their paychecks. They don't pay their tithes off of other money that come in. And I've taught and preached and teached about how we're supposed to give a first fruit of our increase and sit there and expect for God to bless us and to bless us abundantly and open doors. I'm like, you crazy. That's not going to happen because you have a curse over your life. And the scripture says it plain out that you are cursed. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I said. That's what the Bible says. And we got this thing where we want to pick and choose which part of the Bible that we want to reflect. If you got side hustles, you got side business, people giving you money for stuff, they're just giving you money away. You're supposed to pay tithes off that stuff. Because what it says is, it says that you do not trust in God, that you are being outright rebellious to his word. That's what it says. And it says what you're doing. And I just sit back and I watch it. I just sit and watch it. I just be looking at it. And the same folks be having me praying for this and then for them. And God be, when I go to God in prayer about it, God is very honest with me. He was like, Tamara, they not doing what they supposed to. He like, so why should I do anything? He like, they got a curse on their life. He like, they got my hands tied if they got a curse over their life. And I was like, well, you know, whatever. You know, and people be thinking it just stops with money. It don't just stop with money. That curse spreads out through other parts of your life. That's why people be having all the different issues and different things that they be having going on in their life. You have to be obedient to God. That's why the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, so one of the false trusts is in your wealth or in your money. You know, trusting what you can see by the hands of you going to work. How you know you're going to be able to go to work tomorrow? How you know you're going to be able to get out of bed? Your eyes are open. You might not be able to move. Because God might be like, all right, you know what? I'm tired of talking. That's it. You know, this is your day of reckoning. You know, and you be put in a situation where all you have to do and look up. And God is like, you don't have nothing to draw from. Because you've been being disobedient. So we sit back and we look at all these things, but we don't consider. Sometimes I be like, Lord, I don't know. I said, I don't understand. See, I fear the Lord. And I thank God for the experiences I've had with him. And that's the reason why I fear him. I know he real. I know what I've experienced of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 146. And when I say fear, I don't mean I'm afraid of him, because I'm not afraid of him. But that means I reverence him. Okay, so in Psalm 146, I'm going to go ahead and start the first verse. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in prince, nor in the son of man, of whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. In other words, people of God, you don't put your trust in people. You put your trust in the Lord. Because there's going to come a time when they're not going to be no more on earth in the first place. You got to trust in the Lord. You've got to be obedient to God. Okay, so in Proverbs chapter 11, it says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Let me do that. That's verse, what did I say? Y'all, I read the wrong verse. I told you I'm up in the spirit. It's Proverbs 11. Let me go down to 28. He that trusted in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that trusted in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Let's go to Proverbs. There is a word of judgment. There's a word of warning. And a lot of times, God gives us words of warnings. And sometimes people get plenty of warnings or whatever. When that word of judgment comes, that means that's the end of it. And he's like, okay, I'm ready to render. I'm rendering my judgment, my final call on this thing. In Proverbs chapter 28, let's look at verse 26. He that trusted in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Once again, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So in other words, we need to be trusting in the Lord Most High. Go with me now. Let's go back to Isaiah, but let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. Did I say 41? I mean 47. I'm going to start at verse 9. It said, but these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries. And even this, and this is true. This is stuff that goes on right now, even in our church. And for the great abundance of thy enchantments. And I'm going to read that in the basic English. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it have perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and none else beside me. Oh, my God. Oh my. That is so specifically for somebody in this ministry, and I know exactly who you are. I'm going to do the parallel version of that, because the Holy Spirit said do the parallel version of that. And I know it's going to hit some other people in some areas, too, but I'm saying, oh, my God, God brought someone specifically before me when he had me to read that verse. Okay, so in verse 9, in the basic English, it says, but these two things will come on you suddenly in one day, the loss of children and of husband. In full measure, they will come on you for all your secret arts and all your wonders. For you had faith in your evil doing. You said, no one sees me. By your wisdom and knowledge, you have been turned out of the way. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no other. Man. But the Holy Ghost told me in that verse, he said, put a spin on that verse. He said, because this particular person is not going to lose husband. They're going to lose their own life. Okay, so let me. Let me go on. Where I stop it? Yeah, okay. Let's go to Jeremiah. See, this is why I say you need to read the Word of God. Because, like, that scripture right there was just so blatantly out there, and it just painted this picture so beautifully of what people be doing. And they be thinking God don't see them and nobody else. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man, and make it flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. But he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit. The Lord told me to do that in parallel. Hold on. This is what the Lord has said. Cursed is the man who puts his faith in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart is turned away from the Lord. But he will be like the brushwood in the upland, and will not see when good comes. But his living place will be in the dry places in the wasteland, in a salt
and unpeopled land. That's hell, y'all.
And it backs door what the Holy Spirit said when he told me to put a spin on it. He's like, because they're going to be the one that's going to lose their life. He's like, I'm not going to cause the other person to lose their life because of them. Okay. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 49. Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 4, it says, wherefore gloriest thou in the valleys, thy flowing valley, O black backsliding daughter, that trusted in her treasure, saying, who shall come unto me? Behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all those that be about thee, and ye shall be driven out every man right forth, and none shall gather up him that wandereth. And afterward, I will bring again the captive of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. I'm going to do that in the, let me do that in the basic right quick. Man, the Spirit of God is on my hands so strong. The Spirit of God is on me really, 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 really strong. Why are you lifted up in pride on account of your valleys, your flowing valley? O daughter, every turning away who puts her faith in her wealth, saying, who will come against me? Now, this particular person right here, man, I see you so clear. You have a job and you have side business. God said, I'm going to get you. He said, see, I will send fear on you, says the Lord of armies, from those who are around you on every side. You will be forced out, every man straight before him, and there will be no one to get together, the wanderers. But after these things, I will let the fate of the children of Ammon be changed, says the Lord. Man, God is talking so straight right now. Until it's not even funny. He's not even turning corners. And this is the reason why. Can I tell you, out of one of the reasons why I've never wanted to do the things God had me doing, is because I know he talks real clear sometimes. With people, after he warned and warned and warned and begged and pleaded and did all this, you know, then it comes that point where he like, okay, all right, I'm tired. I'm going to Amos chapter 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. He's telling them what? Why? Because these people are trusting in their position, in their things. Okay, so. He's telling us not to have these false trusts, right? And so if you look at, so part of that is not trusting. It's one of the false trusts is putting our trust in man. Psalm 118 verse 9 said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 22 says, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein he is to be accounted of. Okay, trust and riches is one of our false, you know, trusts. And this is one of the things I was touching on earlier. In Job 31, verse 24 and 25, and then I'm going to drop down to 28. Job chapter 31, verse 24 to 25, and then I'm going to drop down to 28. If you want to read 24 to 28, you can. It said, if I have made gold my hope, I have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoice because my wealth was great and because my hand had gotten much, this also were I iniquity to be punished by the judge. For I should have denied the God, for I should have denied the God that is above. Okay, so Psalm 52, verse 7 says, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. Let's skip down. Proverbs 18:11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and is a high wall in his own conceit. And the Lord said, switch that around. He said, because people are sitting on the line and say, well, I don't have no money. He said, yeah, but you still trusting in what you got. He said, because you'd rather not pay your tithes and say, I'm trusting this, and not realizing that you are robbing me, because I told you this in the word. He said, I preach this in the word. He said, you're doing the same thing. And so Mark chapter 10, verse 24 says, and the disciples were astonished at his words, But Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Luke chapter 12, verse 19 and 20. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for the many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thy food this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And so, you know, when we have false trusts, we have carnal security. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 says, Because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing ground shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And that's so true. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 8 says, Therefore, hear now this, thou art given to pleasures that dwellest cursedly, that says in thy heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12 says, They have belied the Lord and said, It is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 13 says, Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 13, Behold, I am against thee, O inhabitant of the valley, and rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which said, Who shall come down against us, or who shall enter into our habitations? Obadiah verse 3, The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is the high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Okay, so self-confidence is another thing that is a false trust that people have. Proverbs 28, verse 26, I think I did this, but I'm going to reread it. Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Hosea chapter 10, verse 13 says, Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Let me do that in the Holy Ghost want me to do that in the basic English. Hold on. That's Hosea. Go to chapter 10. Glory to God. I can feel the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you something, the Holy Ghost is so hot on me today. Verse 13, he says, You have been plowing sin. You have got in a store of evil. The fruit of deceit has been your food. For you put faith in your way. And the number of your men of war. Okay, Matthew chapter 26, verse 33 says, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. That's our self-confidence. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 says, And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Why is God saying this? Because we're supposed to be seeking the Lord. When we have false trusts and stuff, we in ourselves and then what we think we got and all this other kind of stuff and other people, we, you know, God is like, okay, watch out. We need to be seeking him. That is our duty to seek the Lord. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, But if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. We was in the, well, did we do the other verse a while ago? Yeah, we did 13 a while ago, but we didn't do 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Luke chapter 11, verse 10. For everyone that asks it, receive it, and he that seeketh, find it, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Acts chapter 17, verse 27 says, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So in other words, we have got to seek the Lord. We got to say, you can't be trusted in everything else. You can't be trusted in this world system, in these world riches, and whatever you think you got stored up, whatever you think you got. He said, I can blow on it. It can be gone today. And especially in this electronic age. A hacker can hack right on in and take your stuff while you sitting up thinking you secure. Well, I secured all this and secured all that. And there's a scripture to tell us not to put our treasures in another place where robbers and things get to us, but put our treasures in heaven, you know, where they can't get in. So God, like, he's like, I see you. He said, I know you. He said, I know your heart. I know where you think. He said, I know those who truly seek my face and you truly trust me. You seek me about everything you do. He said, I'm going to rain down righteousness. He said, I'm going to help you. He said, but I'm giving a warning and a judgment on those that I'm telling you that have not been doing it. I've been telling all these years, and those that done all this evil, and thank God ain't seen you. God said, I see everything. I know everything. He said, ain't one thing hidden for me. He said, and you have not gotten away. And he was like, and God, as I'm saying it, God is taking me back to what he told me at the beginning, because I didn't understand how it tied in. Now I see how it tied in. If you call yourself, have repented to God, and you've done evil to somebody that you able to tell, to get to talk to, you need to repent to them, because you have not repented. Because you're still trying to hide your sin. And so, you know, God is like, man, y'all come to me. He said, seek my face, ask my plan. He said, because what I might tell you might not seem like it makes sense to you, because the Bible lets us know that his way is not our ways. His thought is not our thoughts, but they are higher. And you're thinking that you got this little smart little way of doing something and it's going to work out this way. God said, man, are you crazy? He said, I could wipe you out right now. He said, and if I don't take you off the face of the earth, he said, I could fix it to where you wished I would have. He's like, so, you know, you need to trust in God. You need to be obedient to God. You need to quit being high-minded. Because, you know, I'm in the business of trying to get people to go to heaven. And so because I'm in the business of trying to people go to heaven, when I go into prayer, the first thing I pray about is people's deliverance. And God shows me the areas of people's lives where they are not being delivered. All your excuses are going to mean absolutely nothing when you face God. And so God is saying, put your trust in me. He was like, quit trying to do stuff your way. He was like, do it my way. And so that's all God is giving me. Let me pray us up out of this. And then if God is giving Prophet Junior anything, as we're going forth, I'm going to have her to come and say what God told her. And then I'm going to come back and pray for the tithes and offering. Father, we just thank you for your people, Lord God, and me. Thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Father, first of all, I come repent of every sin that I committed knowingly and unknowingly, was in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you to forgive me, creating me a clean heart, and renewing me a right spirit. Father, forgive us for being rebellious. Forgive us, oh God, for doing things our own way, God. Forgive us, oh God, for trusting in everything else but you, Lord. And Lord God, God, forgive your people for the stupid things that come out of their mouths and the stupid thought processes, Lord. We just come casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will draw us nearer to you, especially in this evil hour, Lord God, because we know that you are on your way back, Lord God. And we ask that you to deliver us, oh God, scrounge us as sons, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Get everything up out of us that will keep us from going when you crack the sky, Jesus. And so we ask you, Lord, that you will begin to move, God, those who are high-minded and think they are right, God. God. Begin to show them, get them glimpses of their fall, God, that they may recover and get out of the sin that they're in, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord God. We want to say thank you, Lord God, for being God all by yourself. We thank you for another opportunity to repent, God. We thank you for another opportunity, God, to be made right with you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we glorify your name, Lord. We just come seeking your face, oh God. And so we ask that as we seek your face, that you will help us to turn from our own wicked ways in Jesus' name. God, I hear God say, don't get no confidence in the strength of your youth. In the strength of whatever you think you got. He said, but you better seek my face, said the Spirit of God, and be obedient. Oh, God, we just give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. We thank you for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Hallelujah. Recover your people out of darkness, oh, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Pop, just can you come if God is giving you anything to say, or then if you got an announcement? When she was ending her prayers, and she was saying, "Don't put no confidence in your youth." I heard somebody in the spirit say, "Well, what she mean by your youth?"
Explain that. What you mean? You
get to what you got to do first.
Okay. Also, let me let you all know, you paying your tithes and your offerings, not if you are. You know you're supposed to pay your tithes and your offerings. You go to www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. That's www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. Click on the send a donation button. Visitors who give it an offering, you would go to that same website. That's www.wearemorethanconquerors.com, as you would if you were in the building visiting, and you would give an offering. If you don't have a church home and you'd like to pay your tithes into this ministry, again, that website is www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. Click on the send a donation button. If you'd like to give Pastor a love offering, you can text her at 214-507-3626. Again, that number is 214-507-3626, and she'll give you the information to be able to do that. Members, if you are purposing your heart as I have to do your pastor seed every week, you know the avenue to be able to do that. Be mindful that pastor appreciation will be upon us soon. The months are passing by. We are already in June. So go ahead and start that if you have not started. Again, I have given you all a green light.
In other words, you got 4 months.
Yeah, you got 4 months to pay start on your past appreciation. Some of you have not even started yet. And so I've given you a green light to be able, if you need to reach out to me and contact me, and you know, we'll be praying together to see, you know, so you can go ahead and get that going. Also, when Pastor was up and she was preaching, that scripture that she was talking about, when she was saying that for this individual, you're not going to lose your husband. You're going to be the one that will lose your own life. The Lord told me to tell you, and it is so. And when he said it, the force behind what he said, I was over there. I'm about to pretty much kind of like fall out the chair, because the force behind when he said what he said was just so strong.
Ooh, hallelujah. When the Lord was talking about putting no strength in your youth, he's talking about some people put confidence in their children. He said, and when what you consider your strength of your body is your youthful vigor strength. And he's talking about that too. Now let us pray for the tithes and the offerings. Father, we just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I come once again repenting of every sin that I committed knowingly or unknowingly, within my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you to forgive me. Creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. Take me out of flesh and allow your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. Now, Lord, I ask that you will bless your people's tithes and offer, Father, for you know it's the first fruit of their increase, Lord. And I'm asking you to rebuke the devourer for their sake. Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. They will not have room to receive. Let them be pressed down, shaken together, running over. Let men give back unto their bosom. Lord, you see everything and you know everything that's in our lives and what's going on and what we've done and what we have not done, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you will uproot, Lord God, whatever need to be uprooted out of our lives, Lord God, in order for us to see your kingdom, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as I lift up, Lord God, the those who have given into my life, you said in your word, that seeded into my life, you said, whatever we give in the name of a prophet, we receive a prophet's reward. Father, I pray for a prophet's reward over their life. I speak blessings over their life, Lord God. Father, I pray crazy favor, favor don't make no sense, God, where things supposed to be one way, it would turn a different way in their favor for them, God, because they've seeded into my life, Lord God. And then, Lord God, I pray right now for an abundance to begin to take place in their life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, if you have a prayer request, you can text in your prayer request to 214-507-3626. Again, that is 214-507-3626. And I will be praying. I have been praying for people, and I will continue to pray for the people of God in this hour and this season. There's a lot of stuff going on in people's lives. And so, call in and put your prayer on the altar, for your prayer to be put on the altar, and we shall seek God's face, and we believe in God to move in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I'm getting ready to end this call. And as I get ready to end this call, I just ask that you be obedient to God. Whatever God is telling you to do, do what he's telling you to do and seek his face about everything you do. And it's out. Don't trust in your own knowledge or what you think you know or how you think you know how to do this, because that's going to be your demise. Trust in God. And ask the Lord to lead and guide you so that you won't miss him in this hour and this season. Be obedient to him. Because the Bible says if we're willing and we are obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. God bless you. I love you. And I will continue praying for you. And I pray God's faithfulness in your, that you will be faithful to God as God is faithful to you. And that the blessing of the Lord will be rich in your life and add no sorrow. I'm ending the call. Love you.